In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Does anybody here watch Antique Roadshow? Guilty pleasure. I watch it every now and again, and I am absolutely amazed at the things that people bring in for evaluation. Just the other day, we were watching it, and a lady brought in what looked like the ugliest lamp that I have ever seen. She'd bought it at a yard sale for $10. And the expert looked at it, looked at the marks, looked it over, and said, "This is a rare Tiffany lamp, and it is worth over $1,000. I wouldn't have paid a single dollar for it. Another time you'll watch, and a person brings in a chest of drawers that was sitting by their grandma's bedside for 60 years. This looks like a chest of drawers. And Lee Kino says, "It's an exquisite example of 18th century Newport shell carved chests, and it might go for as much as $100,000 at auction." And people grab their chests and start weeping. It's not what they expected. And of course, there are the items that people bring in that have some sentimental value, but in dollar terms, they're really only worth pennies, what the person paid for them, or even less. How do you value something? I was thinking about that as I was reflecting on this passage from the Gospel. And I have to tell you, I feel really sorry for that servant in Jesus' parable today who buries the money in the ground. He got a bad rap and was cast out into the outer darkness. But I wonder if his heart, if not his brain, was in the right place. He was worried about what would happen if he lost the talent that the master gave him, so he put it in a safe place. Why would he be worried? Well, this thing, this talent, was not a little copper coin. It was, in fact, a block of gold weighing 75 pounds. I checked the price of gold on the commodities market on Friday morning, and it was trading at $1,767 an ounce. So that, by current calculations, the talent that that master gave the servant would be worth over $2 million today. The servant knew it was valuable. Of course, it made him nervous. We worry when we have something that valuable, don't we? Our grandparents or our parents might have done the same thing, particularly if they were children of the Depression, putting money under a mattress. They did it because they believed no bad things would happen if the money was safely tucked away. Having lived through times of deprivation, the fear of loss was great. And it would have been the same for this servant, given this enormously valuable thing. A servant who may have had only a few modest belongings of his own, who had no experience with what to do with something this big and this valuable. He probably said to himself, "No, I'm not a clever person, so I don't know what to do with this. But the one thing I do know is that if I lose it, I'll get into big trouble. So I better keep it safe." By the same token, no good things would happen to that money that was stashed away either, would it? While it was tucked away in that safe dark spot, it was a useless, sterile thing. Nothing could be done to it. But neither could it do anything. It was, for all intents and purposes, useless. And that's the thing about valuable gifts. If they don't get used, they have no value. that golden talent might be worth a king's fortune in economic terms, but it might as well be 75 pounds of manure. As a matter of fact, if we're putting things in the ground, the manure would probably be more valuable than the gold. So we can understand this servant's reluctance to put the talent at risk. But remember, the master trusted him enough to give it to him. And the servant should have recognized and remembered that trust. The other servants did. And when they were given their talents, they put them to good use. Perhaps they invested them by purchasing some land that others would farm. Perhaps they bought a warehouse full of grain, expecting that the value of the grain would increase in times of drought and they could sell it at a profit. Who knows? What we do know is that they did do something to increase the value of those talents. They understood that the talents were useless unless they were indeed put to use. Why did they do something different than the fellow who put the talent into the ground? Because they saw that truth, that the value of a thing is in its being put to use. Even a painting by Michelangelo is functionally valueless if it's put in a vault where no eyes can behold it. So how do we set a value or a price on valuable things? If it's a piece of art, it's what a collector or a museum will pay for it. If it is stock in a company, it's what investors believe will be the potential value of the business as it grows, how much profit it will make, what kind of new products they have waiting in the wings. If it's the last letter your grandma sent you before she passed away, it is the sentiment, the emotions in your heart as you touch it and read it and smell her familiar perfume on it. There are other valuable things that are even more ephemeral, though. It's difficult to peg a market value to those things. And those things, like that great big block of gold, are also called talents or gifts. And each one of us has them. Not the 75-pound block of gold, but gifts. Now, these things are not usually learned skills. Talents or gifts are something different. They're qualities that are gifts from God. We come out wired that way. Some folks call them spiritual gifts, after the lists of gifts of the Spirit that St. Paul talked about. Gifts like prophecy, or wisdom, or faith, or healing, interpretation, serving, giving, teaching, being merciful. It's an impressive list. And I suspect that if you're like me, you hear that list and say, well, that's really not me. That's all holy stuff. And yet we do have those gifts. So I'd like to do a little experiment here. I'm going to take you out of your comfort zone, brace yourselves. And I'm going to talk about some gifts, not using the language of Paul, but the language of Henrico County in 2011. Think for a minute. Who among you is a good listener? I'm looking out here and I'm seeing some good listeners. If you're a good listener, stand up. Don't be shy. The 815 people stood up right away. Come on, guys. Thank you. Thank you. Who among you... No, stay up, stay up, stay up. You don't get to sit down yet. Who among you is someone that people ask advice from? They trust you, so they ask for advice. Stand up. You're one of those people. Who among you brings a casserole to somebody who's sick or who's grieving? If you do, stand up. Who among you has ideas for new ways in this parish that we in this parish can help those in need? And who among you already works at helping those in need? Stand up. Who among you tries to read, and even though it's hard, tries to figure out what the Bible says? Stand up. Who among you has made a dish of deviled eggs or a plate of brownies for a reception that we've had for the memorial services in the past few years? Stand up. Who among you prays quietly and privately for those whom you know are going through hard times? Stand up. Who among you voted last week contributing to our democracy, taking on our responsibility as being part of a civil society? Stand up. Who among you talked to a family member or a friend this past month? Stand up. And those who are not standing, I know you do these things and I know you're shy, so that's okay. But look around here. Look around here. Look at the gifts. Look at them. Okay, you can all sit down now. I know you feel much better. You are all in possession of at least one spiritual gift. Those of you who are good listeners, you may be a healer for somebody who needs to be heard, or a source of wisdom. Those of you who pray, you demonstrate faith. Those who bring the deviled eggs, and particularly the brownies, you may know it, may not know it, but you are healers. Something needs healing. What better way to heal those that are hurting than to give them something tasty to feed their bodies? Those of you who read the Bible, you may be interpreters. Those of you who pray, isn't it true that you are always looking to reinforce your own faith or to share it with others? We all have these gifts, these talents. Some of us have 10 of them. Some of us have 5. Some of us may have been given by God a single one. And that is perfectly wonderful too. Because what matters is not how many gifts you have been given, but what you do with them. There's the value. Do you bury them in the ground, not using them because you fear that if you try, you'll do something wrong, or that somebody will think that you're silly or ineffective or some kind of religious nut? Do you worry that there's only one right way to use your gift and you don't know what it is, so you're safer than just doing nothing with your gift? The master in the parable was angry at the servant because he did nothing with what was given him. I suspect that if the servant had invested that talent somehow, even if it was in a solar manufacturing plant in California, the master wouldn't have been half as angry, because at least the servant tried to maximize the value of what had been given. Even if the servant had put it into a bank certificate of deposit at a 1% interest rate, there at least would have been a little interest accrued by the time the master returned. But the problem with the servant is that he let his fear get in the way of putting the talent to work. Your master, your God, has given each and every one of you gifts. Some may be big, flashy talents worth $2 million. If that's true, I want to talk to you. Some of them have been very subtle gifts that are hard to see but exquisitely valuable in the right place and at the right time, like the hug of a friend or a hymn you needed to hear just at that moment. But like the talent in the parable, they are gifts that are intended to be used, not stashed away. And that is the great blessing of this place. Sometimes I think we think too little of ourselves here because we're not as big as other parishes, or we don't have all of the programs that other parishes have, or you only have one priest. But none of that matters. We have all the gifts that are necessary for what God calls us to do and be in this place. So today, when we have our congregational meeting and reflect on what we have accomplished this past year and what we hope for the future, remember that we have all the gifts necessary for the work to which God calls us. There is no Lee Kino and Antiques Roadshow to value these things, but we do not need an external expert to say what we and this place and our gifts are worth. We know their value in our hearts and in our souls. Celebrate that. And then get to work, getting the most and best use out of all those beautiful gifts. Amen.